Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us, and welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and each week this show will bring on special guests that can inspire, educate, and in some cases entertain, while bringing answers and options to making our lives happier, healthier, and more successful. And Answers for the Family will address many ways of creating greater health, joy, and love for you and your family. And we will introduce you to top professionals and talented authors who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, you could all do me a huge favor. Please forward at least one of our shows to your social media group or to someone you know who can benefit from today's subject. This is one powerful way that we can make a positive difference together. Now, before we get to our guests, I want you to know that I'm grateful to all of you that take your precious time to listen to this show, and especially those that are sending in questions, comments, and reviews, as well as suggestions, because please remember, this show exists for you. Now, if you haven't gotten a free copy of the Attitude of Gratitude Journal yet, please go to our website at answersforthefamily.com and download a copy. Give it 21 days and comment on whatever platform you listen to us on and tell us what focusing on gratitude has meant to you and your family. Now, today, we're going to be discussing how hospital patients are getting slammed with huge bills for everything, including COVID-19 testing and treatment, and how telemedicine advances may be the answer to many of our healthcare system's problems. Our guest, Cynthia A. Fisher, is the founder and chairperson of patientsrightsadvocate.org. She is a life science entrepreneur and corporate board director. She founded WaterRev LLC to invest in new technologies that enable sustainable practices in water use. She serves on the public company boards of the Boston Beer Company, and Easterly Government Properties, Inc. Cynthia is best known for her pioneering work as founder and CEO of ViaCord, Inc., a leading umbilical cord blood stem cell banking service that she started in 1993. In 2000, she co-founded and was president of the cellular medicine company ViaCells, Inc. Cynthia holds an MBA from Harvard Business School, as well as an honorary doctorate of science and bachelor degrees in biophysics from Ursinus College. Cynthia, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Thank you, Alan. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Well, I have enjoyed the process that I go through where I learn more about who the guest is and what it is they've done. And I've just been so impressed, and I'm so thankful that you're out there making the difference that you are, because we're in a position right now, we really need all the help we can get in these areas.
Absolutely. You know, Alan, at the top of your show, you mentioned about the crisis in healthcare today. You know, for families and their children and workers and businesses across our country, one of the number one concerns in healthcare is the cost of not only healthcare, but also health coverage. Mm-hmm. And I founded and am chairman of patientsrightsadvocate.org. I knew the industry. I worked in the healthcare industry and led a business, pioneered a business for over 25 years that actually had a new model, which was to allow everyone to know the price. It was the same price for our medical service for one patient as well as all patients. And guess what? We were about one-sixth less than the opaque hospital systems that competed with us. And yet we provided the best of quality at a very low and fair price. And we made a profit. And the company still exists today and is a very large business now inside of another company called PerkinElmer. But I know that in healthcare today, so many Americans have suffered from being blind to no prices before we get healthcare, and then we're blindsided with outrageous medical bills. And on top of it, we are expected to pay with a blank check with whatever the healthcare system charges us without us ever knowing or having a choice before we get care to choose on price and quality. And I have great news for you today because, Alan, this is all going to change very, very soon. And I'd love to share it with your listeners.
Please do. I love this.
Well, I can tell you that I am overwhelmingly overjoyed. And I say that from the bottom of my heart because Patient Rights Advocate has focused on one thing since our foundation, and that is to allow the American consumers of healthcare, and the consumers are patients, workers, employers, and taxpayers, right? We all are the ones that pay and for our healthcare. But now American consumers, because of the Trump administration putting together rules, administrative action that just became totally finalized for making hospitals show us their discounted cash prices as well as every negotiated price for care. And on top of it, now insurance companies, just last week, the administration made it that insurance companies are going to have to pull back the curtain and show us all the negotiated rates that they have negotiated for their clients. And to, so that now, in the coming years, starting January 1st of 2021, the hospitals will have to show their prices. And then 2022, starting the beginning of 2022, insurance companies are going to have to reveal all of their prices. We will have a functional competitive marketplace, and the consumers will be able to know before we go prices. And prices will usher in quality differences, right? So we'll be able to shop for the best quality of care at the lowest possible price. This totally inverts the power of healthcare because we have been blind and highway robbed every single day in healthcare because we were not allowed to see competitive choices. This change starting January 1st, it's a huge victory. It's a very huge victory for all Americans.
I love it. And I hope that if we have a new government in place, that they will follow the same suit and continue with this because it's certainly a win-win situation, you would think. Thank you for that. I love it. And it's interesting because, you know, I've been a little bit outspoken from the standpoint of what was called the Affordable Care Act. And I was just stunned by it. And I said, how can we even call something the Affordable Care Act when I'm paying twice as much?
That's exactly the problem, Alan.
And I'm getting less. I'm getting less. In fact, it's a nightmare, actually. But so you are doing what it is that I have felt that we've needed for many, many years. And thank you. Probably if we had about a week to do a show, you could probably explain why it took so long to be able to get our political people in place to understand why this is important. But I'm just glad you got it done.
Well, thank you. You know, I will give credit where credit's due, and that is President Trump did listen, and the Trump administration did listen to patients that we brought forward. They were invited in the White House. We brought in doctors that decided to change the game by being price transparent, just like my medical service was, offering a discounted low cash price, one patient, all prices, accepting the same amount and being able to provide affordable care. So to your point, the Affordable Care Act is almost like an oxymoron, right? I mean, really, it's not affordable. It's been unaffordable. And we've seen not only the cost of points of care go up egregiously with overcharging and price gouging, but we've seen also the insurance rates have gone up, right? And like you said, people have been getting a lot less. They've had a lot more out of pocket. They've had to pay a lot more out of their wages for coinsurance that they pay as an automatic deduction. And then think about it, with healthcare costs being the number one problem for 30 years running from the National Federation of Independent Businesses, the number one issue was the runaway cost of healthcare. This change that this administration put in place puts on the brakes and puts the trends into reverse for American individuals, their families, businesses, and essentially our economy. So this is a huge win because the pyramid has been totally uprooted and inverted to put the consumer in power and give us the power of choice, because we will now be able to see competition. And you can imagine, Alan, that the tech companies are salivating to be able to have these prices out there and posted, that they will aggregate these and put them together in mobile apps. And like we use Uber, or like we use Yelp, or we use Priceline in the airline industry, or Orbitz, we'll be able to shop not only where we are geographically, but we'll be able to compare prices across this country. And no longer will consumers put up with being overcharged and price gouged. We're going to shop online, and we're going to shop with our feet to reduce our costs, not only of care, but of coverage.
I think it's an incredible win. And again, I'm just very thankful. You know, it's interesting because one of the first questions that I was going to ask you, almost as if you got it through telepathy, you answered it, which was going to be, you know, what do you think is the biggest healthcare problem today that can be most easily fixed? You've already fixed that. So with that being fixed, now how would you answer that? What would now be the next biggest healthcare problem today that can most easily be fixed?
Well, you know, I kind of joke, what do they say? It's not over till the fat lady sings, right? In the opera world, right? It's not over until we actually can see prices very easily and have readily available access, and that we see the competition. And it's not over until the prices come down and that we get coverage, we get broad coverage, and we get competition and innovation really working like a marketplace. And, you know, so when we say fix, you know, the election isn't totally resolved yet, right? So if it is Vice President Biden who will truly be in office January 21st, or I don't know, you know, if Trump comes through, but whatever happens forward, you know, if Vice President Biden wants to do Biden care, for instance, you said it at the beginning of your show, and that is that it's the cost of healthcare that's a huge problem. And if Affordable Care Act is not affordable, if he wants to fix the Affordable Care Act, Biden care could simply be to really honor these price transparency rules and use it as the fix to drive down the cost. Because what had not been completed on the ACA healthcare is the ability to have price transparency. So let's think about this. The ACA really only is out there being used by about 20 million people in this country. We can add more on, but the only way we can add more people on is to make it affordable for everyone, right? And the way you make it affordable is to know prices. Over 161 million people in our country get their health insurance coverage through their employers today, 161 million. So when you think about the power of us as the American consumer to now have the power, not big hospitals, insurance companies, and big pharma overseeing our choices and with big government, we actually will have the power ourselves to make our health decisions based on choice and competition, to get the best quality of care at the lowest possible price. This is a huge win, but we're going to have to stand strong, keep our voices strong, that this next administration, however it pans out, delivers on these rules and keeps the fire burning to make sure that hospitals and insurance companies and big pharma, who is also included in these rules to show their prices, mm-hmm. that the insurance companies have to show the prices of comparative drug costs. That's huge, right? That's really huge. What's the cost of my EpiPen at one place versus another place, right? So that you can save families money. Now, when you think about that, we need to keep the pressure on that this is the fix. And without price transparency, there is no functional competitive marketplace and there is no empowerment of the consumer. So we have to keep the pressure on as we move forward, because I can guarantee you the hospitals have already sued. They've lost in the courts. They appealed. It looks pretty good for the American consumer to win even in the appellate process. Likely the insurance companies will probably sue, because they're making money hand over fist right now by being in control of our dollars. So they don't want to give that up. So we have to stay strong. And Alan, it's every day, it's people's voices matter. And they can come to our website, patientrightsadvocate.org. There's a take action button to click on and keep the communication strong to Congress. And they can look at how today we can start using our voice to demand prices from our providers.
Well, and as I said, I absolutely love it. And for anybody, if you're out there driving and you can't write that down, we'll have it on our website, the answersforthefamily.com website. But again, that's patientrightsadvocate.org. But again, we will have it on the website as well. So don't worry, it's out there for you. I want to touch on a few things in regards to that. And one is that I certainly hope that we end up in a situation in which, you know, we have an administration, or whoever it ends up being, that will focus on uniting. And part of uniting is taking care of everybody, not just taking care of the people that you think will vote for you. So I hope that that's the case. And, you know, let's be positive and hope that whoever it is going to move forward in the right way with this. Now, I want to go to a question. We have a listener question that came in that really addresses almost exactly what it is that you're talking about here. So this listener sends in a question. And again, I want to thank those. When you take the time to do this, I appreciate it. We will always do everything we can to get your question on the air. And this one reads, I was put on a 2-year bone density medication protocol by my physician. I ordered my first dose that Medicare covered all but my $40 deductible. We went in to fill my next month's prescription. The pharmacist stated that the refill would now cost $3,200 each month. It says, to say I was shocked was an understatement. It says, I called my doctor and the only other medication she could recommend would be $2,000 a month. What I have learned is that only people who are in the poverty class called significant financial need can qualify for a subsidy by the pharmaceutical company's nonprofit counterparts, a sad commentary to how our medical system, has evolved and how many drugs are totally out of the reach of the middle class. And that is from Helen in Utah.
Well, Ellen, I thank Helen in Utah for her telling her personal story. And unfortunately, Helen, so many people are like you. They first think that the drugs that they're taking or the medicines are going to be affordable with a small copay or co-insurance portion, only to be surprised that we saw this happen even with insulin, Helen. We saw costs of insulin skyrocket when originally it had no patent on it because no one was supposed to charge anything beyond almost next to cost so that diabetics could have broad access to its life-saving. You know, this is absolutely critical care. And, you know, the administration's worked very hard, and I think we need to keep the pressure on forward that we will be able to see these prices and we'll be able to see where competition is. And there are starting to be innovative companies like GoodRx that will show you on your mobile app, okay, where you are geographically, where can you get your medicines at the most affordable price to you? And let's go back, and I would love to cover even further that you can shop and you should be able to ask for that. And you should be able to, like stores like Walmart are really starting to compete against this healthcare industrial complex. And we know that many mainstream drugs are at a very low price. And even some companies are contracting with them so that they can pass these low prices on to their employees in their health coverage. So I do a shout out for Walmart, for instance, in Georgia. They have 3 independent medical clinics right now that are integrated. It's part of the Walmart store systems, and they're offering price transparent. You can go online and look at Walmart integrated health clinics in Georgia. A doctor's visit is $40. You see a real doctor. You can get an x-ray for $10, a strep test for $20. It's posted online. You can get your teeth cleaned for $25. And then you have a dentist, they have psychologists and psychiatric care for almost $1 a minute. And also they have vision care for like $45. So think about this. This makes medicine affordable when stores like Walmart compete against hospital systems that are opaque, right? Their prices are going to put pressure on a hospital to offer a $10 x-ray, for instance, or an urgent care. So this is going to be huge, but we have to stand up and take those price lists with us that we can get today and go to our nearby provider and tell them, we want these prices. We know it could be afforded, and Walmart's still making profit. They're not giving it away. So we will have the choice to be able to do this moving forward. And Helen, I would encourage you to look at things like GoodRx, an application, and try to see if you can get your medicine that way. But in the meantime, we're going to have to advocate strongly wherever we get care. And starting January 1st, hospitals are supposed to show us all of their discounted rates and their prices. So that MRI, for instance, in a hospital may be $250 cash, but your insurance might have negotiated rate 10 times that at $2,500. And your out-of-pocket may be even more than the cash price, which is crazy.
Why would you
pay out-of-pocket more than you could if you got it at a discounted cash rate? The only way you're going to know that is to ask.
Right. And you bring up a great point. And by the way, we just got an instant message question I'll get to here in a minute that just came in. But the point that you make, because I've had people say, hey, I don't care what they charge the insurance company, you know, or whatever. When I say, look, I'm going to go ahead and do this. I'm going to pay a cash rate, you know, and it's going to cost whatever it is. Like you said, a tenth of what it is. But, and I try to explain to them and I go, but do you understand that we're paying for that? You know, that 10 times cost is now being charged through an insurance company. The insurance company is now making sure that our premiums cover that. And insurance companies generally make a 7% profit on premium. So that 10 times, they go, that's just the insurance company. No, it is us. It is all of us. If we are paying taxes or we are paying medical insurance, we are all getting gouged. So anyway, so yes, I wanted to touch on that. But we just got an instant message question that came in. And I think I know part of the answer, but I'd like to pass it to you as well. And the question came in that was, it said, in regards to the transparency, it said, why did it take so long? And why is it only going to happen this January 1st? And my initial thought from what little bit I know about it is I think you mentioned it, is the fact that the hospital corporations continued to sue over the last 4 years. They continued to sue to try to keep transparency out. So what does that tell you about a business that will sue and spend hundreds of millions of dollars in lawsuit fees to keep from showing you transparency? And am I right on that one?
You're 100% right. And you know what? Our organization, patientrightsadvocate.org, we hired our own Supreme Court litigator to support the administration and the Department of Justice to fight this lawsuit. And we won. They tried to use the hospitals, and we're talking about hospitals all across our country. Even children's hospitals sued. Can you imagine children's hospitals sued to not show their prices? How important is it for families that have children, that are sick children, needing to know prices so they can save to put food on the table, the roof over their head? And too many stories, you can go to our website and see video clips of people's stories where they've been way overcharged and experienced medical debt that put them into bankruptcy, that they did lose the roof over their head. And they were fighting for food on their table. And it was unnecessary in many cases because they had absolutely no recourse. So the good news is that we won. This is a huge victory for the American people. We did win in the courts. It's now in the judges said, even to the hospital lawyers that were suing to not give us, through freedom of speech, the right to even know these prices. They were trying to use freedom of speech in an Orwellian way to say, no, we have gag orders and secret negotiated rates that we don't want to disclose. We have the right to keep these not disclosed to the consumer. Well, the judges said, excuse me, so you want to continue to lie to your patients?
Right.
So I was kind of encouraged by the
freedom to lie.
Yes, the three panel judges to say you don't want to show the real price, you'd rather lie to your patients. So I'm very hopeful that the consumers are going to win in the end. And as of January 1st, hospitals are supposed to show us their prices. So I would say each one of your listeners, we all need to keep the pressure on. We all need to ask for prices. We all should have that right. And the same goes with our insurance companies. We should know in advance. They have it all negotiated in advance, the insurers with the providers, on what rates they'll pay. So they can do the explanation of benefits before we get care. And that's what they're going to have to do starting in 2022. So we can start that pressure now because it's all digital. All they need to do is pull back the curtain and let the consumer get it in their hands. I want to go back to one more thing, Alan, that you had mentioned. You spoke about the administration, the presidency that moves forward, needing to be unified, right? Mm-hmm. Well, in three separate surveys, 90% of all Americans are unified on wanting to know prices from both hospitals and insurance companies. And under that is also pharma. We want to be able to see prices wherever we go in healthcare system-wide. And we want to know the discounted cash price if we want to pay cash. And we want to know the insured rate. And so this has been survey after survey coming at 90%. We looked at the crosstabs of the last survey, Alan. Mm-hmm. 98%. Talk about a unified issue. 98% of all women under the age of 40, want to know prices in healthcare. That's huge. That's a huge statistic. I don't know any other issue in this country that 98% of women are in agreement, 90% of all Americans.
Well, but that's why I said that, you know, this should be an issue that should be easy for whatever administration to recognize it as something that can be used to be very unifying for everybody. So I hope that it gets used in that way. I know you've also talked about as far as digital access, you know, as far as patients having digital access. I want to go a little bit a different direction on this. I did some studying while the COVID thing was first hitting, and it was early on. And as I followed it, I realized that Taiwan, for their population, has an incredibly small amount of deaths. A small amount of people, you know, even testing positive, you know, in just compared to the rest of the world, you know, at one point, and I think this was probably in June or July, they had, you know, like seven deaths, and they have 22 million people. And so I searched and I found a speech by their head of their chief medical officer or whatever for the entire country. And they said, the question was, what are you doing differently? Why have you done so well in this and the rest of the world has not? And he had some very interesting answers. But his first answer was, because we're next door to China. And as soon as they said that it wasn't a problem, we knew that they lie. So we closed our airports immediately. Mm. He said the second reason was that we have digital access to all of the patient records. And we immediately focused on just those people that were at risk. So we didn't have to shut down the country, but we did immediately take care of that. And by having people that have access to their own medical records, as well as having a department within the country that had access, they were able to mobilize so much quicker than anybody else in the world. And the statistics show. So tell us a little bit more about what you're doing in regards to this need for digital access.
I'm so glad you asked, Alan, because patientrightsadvocate.org, our nonprofit, and it's nonpartisan, we have been advocating for real prices in healthcare to be disclosed to consumers, but also real access to our own medical records and our own health information. And we've been advocating for a real marketplace in healthcare so that we can have functional competition and choice drive down costs of care and coverage. So those are our three platforms that we have been three-pronged approach to really transparency of our medical records to ourselves and to share them with anybody we choose to share them with, right? because so many family members help and take care of each other. And in this time of COVID crisis, as you mentioned, Taiwan so well did, is by giving consumers, giving the American public access at their fingertips, in the palms of their hand, their digital health records and health information. It is a huge way to keep people healthy, right? And then add price transparency and quality transparency in provider coverage, add us being empowered with our information and being able to have choice and go wherever we choose that we shop online and we shop with our feet, but also be able to share our information with the providers, the physicians and the surgeons or the caregivers that we choose, right? That puts the American consumer in control and our own families, whom we choose to have as our family advocate or our health proxy, for instance. These records are all digital today, and there are big monopolistic practices done by the companies such as Epic that has done a lion's share of digitization of our health records for major hospital systems. There's Sutter, that's based on the West Coast. You have Cerner, you have these three big companies, Athena Health for the doctor's practices. So these monopolies acting along with the hospitals that have used keeping our health information in their hospital systems as a competitive barrier to not lose us as patients. And this all needs to be unraveled. And in fact, Congress created something called the Cures Act back in 2016. And today it's still not in our hands. And back in 2016, they said these games are going on with the monopolies and their information blocking intentionally so that consumers aren't getting access. And I personally sit on the Health Information Advisory Council. Right now I'm in for my next of a 3-year term, and I was the only individual actually advocating for patients to have the right of this access. It was intended that this would be given out of this law, but I will tell you that what the big monstrosities of the insurance companies and the hospitals and the software companies have come together to quote unquote kill by delay, right?
Yeah.
So even in this COVID crisis, I have been so dismayed, and tomorrow I have a 4-hour online meeting again on this with the council, is during this COVID crisis, at the very time we should, as a country, behave like Taiwan, the industry fought giving us our healthcare records into our consumer hands through mobile apps, right onto our cell phones, right? And instead they said, we need more time because we have the COVID crisis and our technology people are going to have to figure out way to code to charge people for COVID. So we can't do that now. We have to deal with COVID. And this is a big, big problem because had patients had in our cell phones the right to have readily available access to all of our records on a mobile app, it saves us. Thank goodness. I mean, that's sort of a silver lining in the COVID is that people have been able to get healthcare from home on their computers, like we're talking now. But without us having the information in our hands and on our smartphones, we're sort of going and getting our healthcare and our decisions with like having our one arm strapped behind our back because we don't have all the information we need. And this needs to be able to be shared by us where we want to share it. So we have to keep fighting. We Congress has done the law to make it happen. We're just getting killed by the delay by the lobbyists and the lawyers and the power of the healthcare industrial complex. And so it's important that consumers keep using their voice and keep asking.
All right. We are speaking with Cynthia A. Fisher, founder of PatientsRightsAdvocate.org. We're going to take a break right now, but we will be back shortly. And actually, you mentioned about being on a board, and the thought was, so do they have an international detective on the board? Because if they need one, I volunteer.
Great.
You know, because I think that's one of the things too, is if you have somebody that it's going to be able to dig up some of the things that they might not want you to. So, but for everybody, stay with us. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Answers for the Family.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis. Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service, licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services and Westshield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. We are speaking with Cynthia A. Fisher. She is the founder of patientsrightsadvocate.org. And we have another question that is coming in. And this one reads, we had used up our insurance deductible for this year. And 2 weeks ago, my husband injured his leg when he was cycling. It says a car swerved and he was forced into a ditch and no one saw the license plate of the car that did this to him. So the cost falls on us and or our insurance company. The emergency room visit bill was $5,600 just for a few x-rays and to fit him for a cast for a fractured leg. The hospital's website showed five cost levels for emergency room visits ranging from $356 to $3,822. Nowhere do they describe what each level actually entails, but in the fine print, they do state that these numbers do not include fees for drugs, appliances, supplies, or additional ancillary procedures that may be required. They also state that these fees do not include fees for emergency department physicians who will bill separately. So much for the, quote, Affordable Care Act's hospital transparency requirements, which says hospitals must post online prices for all medical services. How can we change the system before it bankrupts all of us who work and pay for this? And that is Naomi in Nevada. And again, that one came in last night, so it didn't just come in now. So I know you've answered part of that. Is there anything you'd like to add to that?
Yes, and Naomi in Nevada, your story of your husband, and I'm so sorry about his crash, is not atypical. You know, classically, it depends whether you have a no-fault state as well, and he didn't get a license plate. So, you know, one is he also has probably your own insurance from your car or your automobile or your motorcycle insurance. So I think it's worthwhile looking down that avenue for reimbursement and coverage, as well as your health plan coverage as well. However, you do have recourse. And today, what your experience is being blinded by not knowing completely the prices, being blindsided by outrageous overcharge price gouge bills, and then you're expected to pay whatever the balance is that you're not covered with a blank check. And this can be, you know, this is going to be changed starting January 1st, 2021. We believe some hospitals will be misbehaving and delay and just take the fines and the penalties from the administration forward to not show their prices. The only way we can get change is if we ask, right? Seek and you shall find. And I think the big thing is that you also have the right now, even though those prices aren't going to start being transparent until January 1st, fully transparent, which is they have to be fully transparent at the discounted cash price in that emergency room, as well as the negotiated rate, okay? Now, the other thing to keep in mind is you're going to probably get more bills because oftentimes hospitals hire contractors, like emergency room doctors are owned by many private equity firms like BlackRock today and KKR, bought up emergency room doctor practices. And so they don't accept insurance, oftentimes the insurance rates, and they balance bill and give surprise bills to many patients, which is what this price transparency measures is to stop. Because they're going to have to show what they charge up front. And that's going to have to be included and bundled in those emergency room fees. And you're going to find out how to use your voice forward. But let me just be succinct and to tell you can go to our website, patientrightsadvocate.org. And one of the things that we found is when people get egregious bills, call in. I know you'll have to go through the ringer because oftentimes you have to go up the ladder. You have to make multiple phone calls and multiple attempts and call your insurer. And what you want to do is you want to ask the hospital for their complete price list of emergency care, okay? They're not going to want to give it to you. If they disclose it to you, it puts them in jeopardy to hold their gag orders behind. So oftentimes they've forgiven the entire bill. When you push them and say you have a legal right to know their prices, you know, what the cash price is and what the negotiated rate is and what the real charges are so you can make sure you're not fraudulently charged. Oftentimes, instead of fighting it, they just let it go. So we see this 9 out of 10 times happen for the patients that have come to us and we've tried to help them with their bills. Because if they disclose it to one patient, then it's now transparent, right? And their lawsuits to sue the administration to not show prices go moot, right? So they don't want that. I'd say fight it because you have the right to know what the real price is. And oftentimes they'll forgive it or bring it down in a significant way so that you go away and you're happy. It's real.
Yeah, so we've got about 5 minutes, but I'd like to talk more about telemedicine and where you see that going in the future.
Well, I think telemedicine is a wonderful silver lining that came out of the misfortune of our entire world being suffering from this pandemic. And combined with what you said is much needed earlier, Alan, combine that once we get access into our cell phone of our digital health record, we will be able, where it makes sense, to save tremendously time. We'll be able to protect vulnerable patients from exposure, unnecessary exposure of sitting in a hospital waiting room, right? Trying to get a simple doctor's appointment that could have been done over video, right? And we can do it at an affordable rate. Again, it's very important to keep the pressure on to have price transparency in telemedicine because we have seen huge price variation. Beforehand, firms that offered their employees telemedicine before COVID came about and made it generic for everyone, for the general populace, is we found prices were around $50 for a telemedicine visit. And what happened with COVID is they skyrocketed. And so hospitals started doing telemedicine and they were charging $190. My own daughter had a $700 bill for a 5-minute phone call. And they charged facility fees and an office visit. And she was just on her computer for 5 minutes. I mean, it was outrageous. They charged her even a psychiatric fee for COVID Massachusetts. So the only way we can really have telemedicine work again is to have competition, price transparency, but it's a great asset now in healthcare to keep people healthier and save us money. In
your daughter's situation, was there justification or whatever? Did they just try to say, well, don't worry about it, just turn it into your insurance?
They did, and by law, our insurance had to pay. So I've been fighting this now for 3 months. They're dealing with the wrong person, but I'm going to fight this to the end. I'm ready to report the largest hospital system in Massachusetts to the Inspector General. Because not only was telemedicine used, they came outbound to her and they left 8 messages on her cell phone and charged her when they happened to catch her pick up the phone. And she got charged nearly $300 because they said, we're just calling and seeing how you're doing. And she goes, I'm fine. I just called to ask where I could get a COVID test and you guys have been calling me incessantly. So we see even what would be something like Partners Healthcare system here in Massachusetts, well-respected. I firmly believe that it's almost fraudulent to be doing unsolicited outbound calls and then charging insurance companies and people for telemedicine. And when we fought, why are you charging us a facilities fee? Why are you charging us an office visit? Well, they did because they could put that code in. They said, well, we're in the office. So, you know, this is the type of nonsense that needs to be shut down. And, you know, economists believe very firmly that prices will be cut in half when we can see prices. And they believe that, you know, the administrative waste alone is one quarter of our cost. So today we pay over $4 trillion as a country. That means we'd save $1 trillion a year. But it has to be fully transparent in order to get there. So, but this is really critical. I'm overjoyed with the news that is forthcoming, and we need to keep the pressure on this next administration to deliver for the American consumer. It's all, the work is done. Now it's up to us to say, right, please deliver. It's a unified issue.
Yeah, and I want to ask everybody right now, forward this show to your everybody that you know, everybody within your social media. And not so much for me, but for yourself, for all of us. Because the question then becomes, why isn't this the biggest news story over the last, over the last few years? Because it should have been the biggest news story that they were fighting. That should have been a big news story to begin with. And then once we, the people, have won, that should have been a huge news story also. So that tells you something else as to who's in bed with who, that it's not a big news story. So for something like this to get out, we have to do it together. We have to spread this out. And again, get as many people as you can to go to Cindy's website. Again, it's patientrightsadvocates.org. Go to the website and spread that information out so that whoever is in office has to stick with it, because they'll have too many people coming at them. And as she said, 90% of us are united in this belief. So let's keep all of us informed so that we know that we are united.
Yes, and thank you. I would say patientrightsadvocate.org will keep the pressure on all of Congress. Yes. And should it be Biden in the next administration, this can be the fix to Obamacare. This is the fix, and it is going to be up to us. Alan, you are so right that, you know, it's not in the news. Just look who advertises in the newspaper. It's the big healthcare insurance companies. Who advertises on the airway? Hospital systems. They don't want change. They're printing money. They're making up 20% of our economy, and they shouldn't only be making up half of that, right? Like any other developed country, the only way we can get this into our hands is to get this totally done. And like I said earlier, we will all celebrate hugely when we can see prices system-wide, but it's going to be up to us to ask and demand it and keep it going, because they have to do it. It's up to our voice to demand it for our power to be in our hands for our health decisions, to protect not only our health, Alan, but our wealth as well.
Absolutely. And you just touched on something, and I'm guessing you might have the more accurate statistic, but that is the amount of money that we spend on healthcare, what that percentage is, and what the next closest two or three countries are to us, and so that people can see how drastically different this is.
Yes, the U.S. spends nearly $4 trillion collectively on healthcare. That's 20% of our national budget on healthcare. That means that it's almost 20% of our national income. If you look at our incomes that we work and contribute to, that means for every 5 days that we work as workers, one whole day we just work to pay our health premiums and our health care and as taxpayers. Okay. Just one day, we give up one whole day a week. Well, if we looked like other developed countries, we'd only have to work a half a day. Right. For our health care, because the other developed countries are around 10%. Right. And Singapore took our model of the 60, had catastrophic care, and we paid cash, discounted cash prices for care. I remember getting stitches and my mother handing the doctor a $10 bill. And so when you look at what Singapore did, they're at 5% of their national domestic product. That means their national income. So we can be there, but I mean, to get it in half, and I think it's very doable, Alan, because the airlines were opaque and didn't show prices back in the 70s and 60s. And you had to go to a travel agent, and they were the only ones that knew the price, and then they told you what you had to pay. Once that those curtains were pulled back, and those airlines, which have lots of variability, just like healthcare in their in what how they're going to make money, but those prices became transparent. In today's dollars, since 1978, the cost of flying on a plane is half of what it was in the 70s. Yep. And many hundreds of millions or more people in this world happened. Quality got better from the airlines, and they got safer. So can you imagine healthcare quality was better because they had to compete and they got safer? Less yep. people were killed from medical errors. And then you also got it at a much lower cost at half price. And that's what economists think can happen. You know, Art Laffer, Larry Van Horn, Brian Blaze, they've all weighed in to say we can get there. We just need to know prices system wide.
Cindy, thank you so much for everything. Unfortunately, we're out of time. But again, for everybody out there, you can go to patientsrightsadvocate.org for more information, or you can go to our site, answersforthefamily.com, and we will have all of Cindy's information there. Again, Cindy, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much,
Edwin. All right. And now, for everybody out there, I'm going to have a special interview that will air on Facebook Live tomorrow, which is November 10th at 11 a.m., with one of our most popular guests, John Gray. And most of you know him from his Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus fame. In this interview, John will discuss one of his latest books, Children Are From Heaven, Positive Skills for Raising Cooperative, Confident, and Compassionate Children. And don't worry if you miss it. Just mark your calendar, for it will be played again on Monday, November 30th. So you can also tune in next Monday when we're going to be joined by Christine Arialo for a conversation about her new book, Overwhelmed and Over It, Embrace Your Power to Stay Centered and Sustain in a Chaotic World. And if that doesn't describe what we're in now, I don't know what does. So again, for everybody, please visit our archives of past interviews at answersforthefamily.com. And by the way, we're coming up on our 1,000th show, so there's lots of content there for you to check out. Or you can subscribe to our show through iTunes, iHeart, Stitcher, YouTube, Spreaker, and SoundCloud. For everybody out there, be good human beings and be with us again tomorrow and next week on Answers for the Family.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.